I mean, we're too blessed to be stressed. Yeah. Too anointed to be disappointed. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning, why don't you grab your Bibles and go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Amen. I titled this message here this morning, To the Saints. To the Saints. Amen. And thank you, worship team. Amen. Praise the Lord. Feels good to be in God's house worshiping the Lord. Amen. Be in his house to worship the Lord and to hear from God. Amen. And I hope that this morning you come with your hearts open to receive what God has for you here this morning. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 2. The Word of God reads, To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word to our lives here this morning. God, I pray that you would use me here this morning to minister your word once again. Well, Lord, we thank you so much for allowing us to be in your presence, to worship your name, and to hear your word. I pray that you would speak clearly here this morning. Lord, we thank you and we love you. Anoint my life to preach here this morning. In Jesus' name, everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I titled this message, To the Saints.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody say, the Saints.
The Saints.
The word saint is derived from the Greek verb hagezo. I think they can put that word on the screen for me. This is where we get our word saint from. It's a Greek. In the Greek, it's hagezo. On Friday, I taught you a Greek word called angangazo. Means to compel, to bring people to Christ, or to bring people, to even be forceful in bringing people. This morning, I want to share with you this Greek word that we use for saints, which is hagezo. And it basically means to set apart, to sanctify, or to make holy. I want you to know here this morning that you were called to be a saint.
Right. Amen.
Now, a saint is not a perfect Christian. A saint is not some great spiritual giant who is now dead. A saint is not someone venerated by the Catholic Church or by any church. A saint is any Christian who is alive or who has passed away and gone to be with the Lord. Look to your neighbor and tell him, what's up, saint? There's two things that distinguish a saint or describe a saint. The first thing, and I'm just going to share these two things with you this morning, and I'll be done. The first thing that a saint is that a saint is set apart.
Amen.
He's set apart. See, you have been set apart from this world for God's purpose. That's what a saint is. A saint is someone who has been set apart. Set apart. As I look back on my life, I see where God has set me apart. I remember God setting me apart in prison when I got saved. Even before I got saved, God set me apart. Remember, you're a saint.
Amen.
You don't got to be dead to be a saint.
Amen.
You ain't got to be a perfect Christian to be a saint. You ain't got to be some great man of woman of God to be a saint. You ain't got to be a Pastor Sonny to be a saint.
Come on now.
Or a David Wilkerson or a Billy Graham to be a saint.
Come on.
No, you're a saint right now.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're a believer now, if you're not a believer, then you're an ain't right now. Don't be an ain't, be a saint. Amen. But if you're a believer in Christ, you're a saint.
Amen.
Right.
You're a saint. Why? Because the Bible tells us so. See, you know, people, we have a way of changing things. People have a way of changing things. We like to change things to make them mean what we want them to mean.
Wow.
That's what some of the church did in the early ages.
Right.
You know, they begin to change the meaning of a saint to somebody who did something great in the church. Somebody who already died and they did something great, and so they want to venerate them to be a saint, or to, you know, canonize them to be a saint, or to separate them to be a saint. But you're living right now, and the Bible says you're a saint.
Amen.
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 Come on, Pastor.
And as I look back on my life, I see how God set me apart. Because that's what a saint is. The first thing that describes a saint is that he is set apart. Hagagazo means set apart.
Right.
Means set apart. And when God saved me, he began to set me apart.
That's right.
Begin to set me apart from the world. From my peers, from my friends. From all my old ways. From all my old crew and posse. He began to set me apart. I remember God sending me to prison. I don't think it was the judge that sent me to prison. I think it was God that sent me to prison.
Whoa.
Come on, somebody. Huh? Because he was setting me apart.
Yeah. Amen.
Because the judge can't do nothing unless God ordains it, unless God orders it.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing happens in this world unless God allows it to take place.
Right.
And when God sent me in prison, it was God symbolically setting me apart, because it was right there in prison where I started to read the Word of God more.
Amen.
I mean, I got saved before I went to prison. I didn't get saved in prison. I got saved on the run, running from prison. But when I got in prison, it's where all of a sudden I had time now, because I wasn't on the run, to read my Bible. I had time to go to Bible study. I had time to hear the teaching of God's Word. I had time to pray. I had time, because I had a lot of time. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
2 years, that's what, 700 and some days, right? Huh? But it was there where all of a sudden I began to realize that God set me apart.
Come on.
If you're in the home, God set you apart.
Amen.
I remember in the home, God set me apart too.
Huh?
It was those years of being in prison and those years of being in the home that I experienced being set apart. You may be saying, but Pastor, I didn't go to prison and I did not go into the home. But by you coming to church here this morning, God has set you apart. God has set us apart from the rest of the world. Because there's a lot of people, there's so many people that don't go to church. Because if everybody went to church, we wouldn't have enough church buildings in America.
Right.
We wouldn't have enough church buildings in the world.
Right.
Every church would be packed out to capacity.
Yes. Come on.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? But because God set us apart, Victory Outreach.
Yeah.
You're here because God set you apart.
Right. Amen.
I know it's not because Mama drugged you to the church. No, I'm here because Mom drugged me to the church. Dad drugged me to the church. Because husband made me come to church. Because wife made me come. No, you're here because God set you apart.
Amen.
Right.
Maybe you're not a saint yet. Maybe you're still an ain't. But the reason why you're here is because God wants to make you a saint. And all you got to do is to become a saint. It's to say yes to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want you in my heart. I'm a believer. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and you resurrected on the third day with power. I believe that with all my heart, with all my soul. Yes, I ain't perfect. Yes, I got some imperfections. Yes, I'm still struggling. But I'm believing that God, that you're going to be able to change that in my life. And no matter where you're at, you're a saint.
Yeah.
I remember God setting me apart. I remember he set our marriage apart, me and my wife. When he put us together. He set me apart in prison. He set me apart in the home. He set me apart when I went into the second phase.
Yeah.
Because I didn't live like everybody else. I didn't live like the rest of the world.
Right.
As Christians, the reason why God sets us apart, because he has to be able to tell the difference between the world and the Christian. Listen, we should be able to put you next to a sinner and be able to tell a difference somewhere along the line. If we put you next to a sinner, we can't tell the difference. Come on, somebody. Now, you know, I know I still got a little bit of gangster swag sometimes. Amen. Huh? You know? Sometimes you look at me physically, you know, you might... Sunday morning, yeah, because I'm suited and booted. But catch me on a Monday. Come on, somebody. I might be flamed up. I will be flamed up. I'm sorry. But not because of that. Not because I'm banging on wax. Amen.
Come on.
I've been delivered.
Amen. Come on.
It's just that color stuck to me. Huh? And I might look like that, but guess what? When I open up my mouth, I won't sound like the sinner.
Amen.
Or the ain't. Or a non-believer. Or a non-Christian. Because when they open up their mouth, all you hear is blankety blank 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 beep 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 beep. It sounds like a truck backing up. They talk about just the things of the world, but when I open up my mouth, or when we open up our mouth, praises should come out. The word of God should come out. Thankfulness should come out. Gratefulness should come out. Praise and worship should come out. Prayer should come out. Good things, the good things of God begin to come out. And I remember God setting us apart in our marriage. He set our marriage apart. He set our marriage apart, me and my wife, when we became one. He set us apart for his purpose. What purpose? What we're doing here today. He set us apart for you.
That's right.
He set us apart for this ministry, for this church. He set us apart. That means we couldn't be like all the other married couples.
Hello.
We didn't have an ordinary honeymoon.
Come on now. Talk about it.
That's right.
Huh? You know what our honeymoon was? Our honeymoon was for us to go to California for me to get licensed to be a minister. That same year when we got married, you know, when I proposed to my wife, 2007 was one of the best years of my life because she said yes. And then we got married. And then Pastor Jesse said, you know what, I'm going to license you. He gave me the green light to take the ministerial license, and then I passed the test.
Come on.
And all of a sudden they said, all right, now you got to come for an interview. And the interview landed right when I was going to take my honeymoon.
Wow.
We had plans to go to the Big Apple and take a bite out of the apple. Hello, somebody. We were going to go to New York. Right, honey? Huh? And all of a sudden things changed because ministry called. Why? Because we were set apart.
Right.
I said we were set apart.
Man.
Huh? In taking a city, God set us apart.
Right.
He set us apart. Have you ever asked God, God, why me?
Yeah.
Right? Why do I got to go through this? Come on now. Have you ever asked God, why me? ¿Por qué yo? Huh? Maybe it's because God was setting you apart.
Oh,
I asked myself that. I asked myself that question when God sent me to prison. I said, God, why me, man? All my friends are out there having friends. Why did they get busted? Come on, somebody. Huh? Right? I remember doing licks with the crew, and everybody would get away, but I get busted. Come on, somebody. Well, Pastor, because you weren't a good criminal. So weren't you, because you got busted too. Hello. Huh? Have you ever asked God, God, why me? Maybe it's because God was setting you apart. God, why does my marriage have to go through this? God, why does this happen to me? Why do I gotta get sick? Why does this gotta hit me? Why me? Maybe it's because God is trying to set you apart. And to me, he had to send me to prison and put me in the home, but maybe to you, he's gonna take you a different avenue. But it don't matter. God is setting you apart. If you're a saint, you've been called to be set apart. A characteristic, a description of a saint is a man, a woman of God that has been set apart. To be set apart by God is a great thing, my friend. To be set apart by God is a great and is a good thing, but we don't look at it like that. But sometimes what happens is we struggle seeing it like that. Because we like to be a part of the in crowd. Huh? We like to be a part of the in crowds. It's a good thing. I want you to tell your neighbor it's a good thing. It's a good thing that you're set apart. It's a good thing that your marriage is set apart. It's a good thing that your family is set apart. You may say, well, I don't fit in with my friends no more. I don't fit in with the in crowd no more. I don't fit in with some of my family no more. It's because God has set you apart, my friend. And it's not a bad thing. It is a great thing because it's a sign of a saint. It's a sign that, listen, you may be out of the in crowd on earth, but you're going to be in the in crowd in heaven. And I'd rather set my eyes to the streets of gold. I'd rather set my eyes to what's ahead. I'd rather set my eyes on what is unseen. Oh, because one day Jesus is going to come back. One day with the trumpet call of God, the city of God will be made manifest, and we as the saints will come marching in. We'll come marching in with the glory of God. We'll come marching in to our Savior Jesus Christ, because we have been set apart. A saint of God is set apart. God plucks him or her from the multitudes, and he sets him or her apart. God plucks you out, and he sets you apart. He chooses you. He chooses a saint. He chooses a man. And you ever ask yourself, why am I saved out of all my friends that I went to school with, out of all my family, God, you chose me? Huh? Because you've been set apart. Because you've been set apart. Tell your neighbor, you've been set apart. See, this is why sometimes it gets lonely sometimes serving God. Because God has set you apart. Because you are his special people. His chosen.
Amen.
His chosen. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. God's special possession. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Amen.
Huh? God chose you. He picked you to be set apart. That's why. So next time you ask yourself, why me? It's because you've been set apart. Sometimes when, see, God sometimes uses trials to set us apart. You know why? Because you know what trials do? Trials give us character.
Yeah.
That's what trials do. It's like an old house. Sometimes I look at houses sometimes and I say, you know, sometimes I prefer an older house because that house has character. That house has been through some storms. The house has been through some trials. Huh? See, you don't know about a new house. You don't know if the new house has a good foundation.
That's right.
See?
Oh, yeah.
But if you look at an old house that is still standing after many years, you could say that house has some character, and it's the same way for Christians.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point.
Sometimes God uses trials to set us apart because those trials, they produce character in our life. Don't ever trust nobody that ain't been through nothing. I love when new people get saved. I love to see new believers come to the Lord, and I love to see their fire.
Yes.
Huh? But I know one thing. I know that them being on fire is great, but I know one thing. They're going to go through the fire too.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Right.
And that's what determines. That's what determines. That's what separates.
Right.
Huh? That's where God begins to separate us.
Yeah.
Begins to do a work in our lives.
Amen.
See, when you really get saved, this is what begins to happen in your life. God begins to set you apart. When you really truly surrender your heart to God, this is what happens. God begins to set you apart.
Mm-hmm.
He begins to set you apart from your friends. He begins to set you apart from the old you. See, at the moment of salvation, you are automatically spiritually set apart at the moment of salvation. When you say yes to Jesus, automatically, spiritually, in God's eyes, you are set apart. You're set apart in heaven. But on earth, God begins the process. He begins the process of setting you apart.
Right. Yes, that's right.
Because on earth, it just doesn't happen overnight.
That's right.
And he begins this process, and all of a sudden, you feel like you don't fit in anymore with your worldly friends or your family or with the world in general. If you were a gang member, you begin to stop hanging around those gang members. If you were a drug addict, you stop hanging around the users. If you drank and partied in club, now you distance yourself from that crowd. Why? Because God begins to set you apart. Whatever worldly circle you ran with, that begins to change. That begins to change. Whatever worldly circle, it doesn't have to be gangs. It doesn't have to be drugs. It can be a worldly circle of philosophy. You can be in the university, in college, and you find worldliness there with the worldliness of professors and the worldliness of students.
Right.
But when you get saved and you get truly saved and you begin to read the Bible, God begins to set you apart. And all of a sudden, you find yourself uncomfortable in those conversations. You find yourself uncomfortable in those debates. Why? Because you realize that, listen, you don't have the same convictions no more. You don't have the same values no more. You don't believe the same way they believe no more. Now you believe in the Word of God. Now God's Word is your final rule of faith and doctrine and living life. And all of a sudden you find yourself, I don't think the same. I don't act the same. I don't want to be the same. And that's when God begins to set you apart. You even find yourself feeling different from non-believers. Whether it's family or good friends. You can have good friends, but they're not God friends.
Wow, that's good.
I'll say that again. You can have good friends, but they're not God friends. There's some good people out there that are not saved. Matter of fact, there's probably better people out there than in here that are not saved. It's funny, but it's true. But they're not godly. They're not godly. They don't have God inside of their lives. Huh? And you'll begin to see it. Once you've been set apart, once you surrender to God, you'll notice it. And they're great people, huh? But they still have unbiblical ways.
That's right.
Huh? Let me tell you something. Like I preached on Friday, we can't be a weak church. The church wants to be too weak, and the church doesn't want to preach solid messages. And we want to water down the gospel. We want to water down God. But there's a line that God draws. I read an article last night about six things that God does not say that the church or the Christian people say that God says. One of those things is that God loves unconditionally. And that's not what the Bible teaches. God doesn't love unconditionally. I'm sorry. I heard it bust your bubble. Hope you come back. But I'm preaching the truth here this morning. God hates sin. Loves the sinner, but he hates sin. And guess what? If you keep on sinning,
come on, preach.
That's right. You keep on sinning. We can't get saved and keep on sinning.
Come on, the Bible says yes.
Oh, my friend, the Bible says that God hates divorce.
Amen.
That's right.
The Bible says that God hates. In Proverbs, there's six things that the Lord hates.
Come on.
A lying tongue. Minds that devise wicked schemes. A haughty heart. A prideful heart. A prideful life.
Come on, God.
See, there's some things that sometimes we as the church, we say, God will do it. No. My friend. And this is why it's important that you understand that you've been called to be set apart.
Amen.
From what? From all the things that God hates. You gotta be. See, God don't love for you to get high. God don't want you to be getting high, getting drunk, getting stoned. God don't want you to be cussing and treating your wife bad and hitting her and abusing her. Maybe not with your hands, but with your words. That's what the world does. God wants us to be set apart. He doesn't want us to worry like the world worries. He doesn't want us to mourn like the world mourns. He wants us to trust in Him. He called us to be set apart.
Right.
See, there will be those that are called to serve also in leadership.
Right.
See, there are some saints who will have a higher calling. That will even feel set apart even in the amongst the saints.
Yes.
We're all saints here.
Amen.
But there's some of you in here that even amongst the saints, you'll feel set apart. I know it's getting quiet up in here, but it's all right. We're all saints, but there are some that will have a higher calling, and I don't even want to call it a higher calling. I call it a lower calling.
Right.
Because that higher calling means for you to go lower.
Right.
Because what that means is, it means Jesus said, whoever wants to be the leader or whoever wants to be in charge must be the servant of all.
Right.
And there are those in the church that God has called for a higher calling, but really is like a lower calling because you're called to serve.
Right.
And even amongst the saints, you find yourself even set apart amongst the saints. See, these will be those called to serve in leadership as pastors, evangelists, teachers, missionaries, apostles, prophets, etc. The list can go on. See, these people, they have no rights.
Come on now.
My pastor taught us a leader has no rights.
Come on.
He taught me, you want to be a leader, Francisco? You have no rights.
Come on now.
You have no rights. You have no right to be late to church.
Come on.
You have no right to be late to prayer. You have no right, come on somebody. You have no rights to your life. You have no right to complain. You have no right to hold back the tithe. You have no right to sin. You have no rights.
Come on.
Paul said, I am a bondservant of Christ.
Right. That's right.
He said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Come on. My God.
See, as saints, this is what should burn inside of us, that we have been set apart.
Right.
But either which way, wherever you find yourself in, we must embrace this call to be set apart.
Yes.
Amen.
Whether you're called to be a saint with a higher calling or you're just a saint, it don't matter. We need to embrace this calling to be set apart.
Amen. Amen.
We must embrace it. We must embrace it like Jesus embraced the cross. And he carried his cross on Good Friday. He carried his cross to Golgotha, to the place of the skull where he would hang and die for you and I. This is where the saying goes. Pick up your cross and carry it.
Amen.
Amen.
Christians, we don't want to do that no more. We don't want to hear messages that talk about the cross, that talk about picking up our cross and carrying it. Because that means sacrifice.
Right.
Sacrifice means being set apart.
Right.
Huh? Look at ministries in the church. Ministries like running a home. Our directors, Pastor Josh and Sister Asenet. That's a cross they carry.
Right.
It's sacrifice. They have no rights.
Amen.
Come on.
Huh? Ask them when's the last time they've been on a date. Because they're carrying their cross.
Yeah, that's good.
Bible study leaders. They can't just come home every day of the week and just... No, they got to have their Bible study. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Whether it's on a Monday or a Tuesday or the Wednesday, that's the cross. That's you being set apart.
Right.
And those that carry ministry in the church, if you're an usher or a teacher, come on, somebody. We all wake up and sometimes, man, we're like, oh, I don't feel like going to church. But you got a cross to carry. You've been set apart as an usher. You've been set apart. You've been set apart as a teacher. And you are a saint that has been set apart.
Right.
Amen.
Come on.
Either which way, we got to embrace. We got to embrace this cross. And this is why, listen, this is why it gets lonely. Sometimes it gets lonely being a saint because you've been set apart. Because God chose you. He took you out of the crowd and he put you up and he put you over here. He put you on this side. And you're looking over there to the crowd and you're saying, man, it looks like they're having all the fun over there. Man, it looks, oh man, they're partying over there. Oh man, they're getting blessed over there. And God has you over here sacrificing. God has you over here washing feet. God has you over here serving. But rejoice because you have been set apart by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Rejoice, my friend, because one day you're going to look to the other side. You're going to say, I'm glad I'm not on that other side. I rejoice that I'm not on that other side. Because on this side, there's going to be some burning taking place. People are going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth will be taking place. And on that day, you will rejoice that you've been set apart. You'll thank God that he set you apart and he called you to be a saint. I'm looking for that glorious day. I'm looking for that glorious day that vengeance will be of the Lord. Oh, but what about my loved ones that are burning? Listen, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What about your loved ones that are serving God?
Come on.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
We've been set apart. Oh, I thought God is a God of love. I thought if he was a love, he wouldn't put nobody in hell. God don't put nobody in hell. People put themselves in hell. Because they don't accept his great love, his invitation to accept his mercy. No, we want to make up our own conditions. Who are you? You're the created.
Come on now.
Who are you? Oh, I tell you who I am. I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. God will take his breath from you in a second.
Amen.
And you'll be gone. You will be nobody.
Wow.
That's real. Are you hearing me? This is why we got to serve God and be strong in serving God.
Amen.
This is why we got to be solid Christians. We can't be wishy-washy.
That's right.
You got to make a decision. Are you going to be fickle or faithful?
Oh.
You must make a decision. That's what Joshua said. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You're going to serve the gods of the world, the Amorites and the Moabites of then. Or will you serve God? And he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to be faithful to God.
Good.
Because he was set apart. And it gets lonely sometimes being set apart. But you got to keep your eyes on the prize.
Yes. Yes.
You got to keep faith in God's word. And you got to know, man, that God's word is true. Let God's word be true and every man a liar. Come on, somebody. I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. God's word is truth and everybody else is a liar. My friend, God, we got to stand on the word of God. It is the infallible word of God. People have tried to destroy this book. They try to destroy the word. They try to ban it. They try to burn it. But it's still the number one bestseller. And even if they did get rid of it, there's pastors and preachers and Christians all over the world that have hidden the word of God in our hearts that we may not sin against God, and we will write it over and over and over again, because God's word does not come back to him void. God's word is eternal. God's word never loses its power. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will stand. Second thing the saint is not only is set apart, but a saint means to make holy. Paul writes again in the verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, he says, to the church of God in Grand Prairie.
Hello.
To those sanctified. Sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. The word sanctified and called to be holy. The word saint means to set apart, and it means to make holy. A saint means to make holy. Hagazo. The Greek word for saints means to set apart and to make holy. Meaning, you're not fully holy. Your socks are. Your boxers may be. Your shirt may be. But you're not. Turn it, but you're not. You're not fully holy. Take the halo off. Take the angel wings off. Huh? Quit acting like my sin smells dirtier than your sin. Woo! I mean, you're not fully holy. That's what it means. Because saint means to make holy. That means you're not fully holy. But you're being made holy. Or you are being sanctified. Sanctified. Sanctified again simply means to be set apart. To be set apart. Remember, God has to distinguish. There's a distinguishment between us and God. Because if there wasn't, then we would all say we were God. This is why when you read, if you read your Bible, and I hope you do, and you read like Exodus, and you read how God told Moses to build the tabernacle, and God told Moses to build the tabernacle, to have the people, you know, make all the furnishings for the tabernacle, to make them out of pure gold, and to make them out of silver, and to build the curtains with beautiful purple linen and wool, and to make the curtains, and to make the walls, and to make the, set up the tabernacle, and the basin, and the offering lampstand, and all these things. God, when he was telling the children of Israel to do that, he says, listen, when you do these things, you make sure that you consecrate the people that are going to work on these things, because these things are holy. They're not like your trastes at home. They're not like your dishes that you have in the dishwasher. They're not like your furniture at home, my friend. No, my friend, this is a special thing that we're building for the honor and glory of God, and we can't treat the things of God like we treat everything else. This is why if you're up here on the worship team, you gotta be holy. Yeah. If you get behind the pulpit, you gotta live right. Yeah. Oh, shut up. You gotta live right. Because we've been set up. There's a set apartness. Right?
Yeah.
This is wood. This is stain. This is carpet. But there's an apartness here.
Right.
Listen, the same standard that goes for me is the same standard that goes for you as a Christian. But God knows how we think. God knows how people think. And you know how people think. You know how you think. Pastor got to live like that. Pastor got to pray. The leader's got to come early. Huh? Oh, it's getting quiet. I can hear a pin drop.
True.
But let me tell you something. The same Bible that I read should be the same Bible that you read.
Yeah.
But I get it. Listen, there's a set apartness.
Yeah.
Huh? There is a set apartness. And I should pray more than you. Come on, somebody. As a leader, because I'm set apart. And I should read the Bible more than you. And I should preach more than you. Yes, yes, yes. But that doesn't mean you should not read the Bible.
Oh,
that does not mean you should not pray. That does not mean you should not preach.
Come on. Amen.
You just may not do it as much as I do.
Come on.
A saint means to make holy. You're being sanctified. So once God sets you apart, he begins to take you through a process. He begins to take you through a process to make you holy. To make you holy. Because we were unholy, man.
Amen.
I mean, you were unholier than the unholiest than the unholiest of unholiest. I mean, the Bible has the holy of holies. You were like the unholiest of unholiest.
Wow.
And so God has to take us through a process to make us holy. Which holy simply means to be set apart. See, this is where God really, really begins to cause you to stand apart from the rest of the world by the way you look and by the way you sound and by the way you act. When God begins to make you holy, that's God setting you apart by the way you look, by the way you sound, by the way you conduct yourself. Before you acted all crazy and you wanted to fight everybody, you wanted to mean mug everybody, and I'm talking about the women, but all of a sudden, God changes you and touches your heart, and God all of a sudden, he changes you.
Yes, come on.
The ladies didn't like that one. Huh? Right, some of the ladies, man, they're harder than the dudes. Come on, somebody. Huh? But God changes us. He begins to make us holy. See, this is what happened. There's a process of change that takes place. This is the process of change that takes place. There's three stages of this process of being made holy. The first stage is what I call the honeymoon stage. What you experience in this stage is a lot of joy.
Amen.
Because on your honeymoon, you're happy.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Especially if you do it right, you know.
Right.
If you don't do it right, then you're probably going to be mad at each other. If you take the car on a test drive before your marriage, you ain't nothing to party about. Huh? But if you do it right, come on, somebody. Like me and my wife did it right. Huh? If you do it right, my friend, then you will have a you will have a reason to be happy on the honeymoon night. Hello, somebody.
Hello.
Come on now.
Right.
Huh? And in Christ, in the honeymoon stage, there's a lot of joy. You experience the joy of the Lord.
Yes.
The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes.
Huh? And in your honeymoon stage, you're full of joy because you found your Savior. You found the one who loves you. You found the one who's given you peace. You found the one that's given you mercy. You found the one that put a new song in your heart, a new pep in your step, and all of a sudden you have a lot of joy at the beginning of your salvation. This is called the honeymoon stage. I mean, you're excited about coming to church, my God. And so you look around, and sometimes you look at people in the church and they got a bearded beard face, and you're like, why ain't they happy? And you're so happy with God, and you're ignoring that because they're not in the honeymoon stage. But you just stay in your honeymoon stage, my friend, and enjoy the process, because it's a good feeling. I remember that feeling. I still get that feeling. I rejoice in my salvation. I rejoice that I'm saved. Hell can be taking place around me. Trials can be taking place around me. Storms can be taking place around me. But Jesus said, rejoice not that the demons are subject to you. Better rejoice that your name is written where it cannot be bitten. It is written in the Lamb's book of life. And therefore you can wake up every morning, no matter what you're going through, and rejoice that you are on your way to heaven. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And you will receive eternal life. And your last breath here on earth will be your first breath in heaven. Your last step on earth will be your first step in heaven. Your last glance at earth will be your first glance to the streets of gold and the pearly gates. The honeymoon stage of joy. In this stage, you experience breakthroughs.
Come on now.
Amen. That's right.
Breakthroughs. Things that you know what a breakthrough is? A breakthrough is something that held you back.
Yeah, bro.
A breakthrough is something that you could not get over. Then all of a sudden you get over that. Before you couldn't stop smoking weed, but all of a sudden God's power gave you a breakthrough. You stopped smoking weed. You couldn't stop smoking cigarettes, but God's spirit gave you a breakthrough and you stopped smoking cigarettes. You couldn't stop drinking alcohol, but God gave you a breakthrough and he slapped the taste of alcohol out of your mouth. You couldn't stop cussing, but God took a coal from the fire of the altar and touched your tongue and lip, and you stopped cussing like a sailor. Now she loves you more. In the honeymoon stage, you experience wonderful feelings. You experience radical change. But then there's the second stage, which is the learning stage. The honeymoon stage is great. There's radical change. You're like, man, I'm a different man. I'm a different woman. I'm not the same.
Come on.
But that's just the beginning. Then you got to go into the second stage.
Amen.
See, what happens is that when people don't grow and they stay right there, they realize that the honeymoon runs out. The honeymoon runs out. You weren't meant to stay on the honeymoon.
Come on now.
You got to come back to life.
Yes.
Back to reality.
Right.
And you got to learn. The second stage is the learning stage, and you're going to learn. This is where you begin to learn as a Christian. You experience growth in the Word of God. Before, you didn't know nothing about the Word of God, but now that you start coming to church, and I hope that if you start coming that you bring your Bible, I hope that you just don't come just to listen to me, because I can tell you all kinds of lies if I wanted to.
Come on.
But I won't, because I'm a man of integrity, right?
Right, man.
But don't take my word for it. Get into the Word.
Yeah, amen, amen.
Break the Bible and test to see everything that I'm saying, if it's in the Word. If it's not in the Word, call me a false prophet.
Come on.
Oh.
Stone me. Take me to the back and stone me, if the ushers and the armor bearers will allow you. If you can get past them. But test what I say. That's what Paul said. Test what I say through the scripture. This is why you gotta carry your Bible.
Yes.
You gotta not just carry it, but you gotta read it. You gotta study it. You gotta follow along with it.
Yes.
And you know what happens? You begin to learn.
Yes.
The light turns on and foco se prende. And you begin to grow in the Word. Begin to grow in prayer. You begin to grow, and you know when you grow in the Word and you grow in prayer, you know what else begins to grow? Your life begins to grow.
Yes.
Amen.
You experience growth in your marriage. You experience growth in your finances. You experience growth as a father and as a mother. Your children will begin to grow. This morning, I was blessed this morning. You know, well, for one reason, because I came up, I grew in my matter with can. If you notice, I'm not wearing the same pin. What is this, honey? Platinum! Ooh, I'm in platinum. Hello, sir. I used to be gold, now I'm platinum.
Come on,
huh? My wife gave me some more platinum now, honey. Take that gold off. So we're platinum. I said, ooh. And you know what happened? Frankie comes up to me, and he comes up with his pin that he got in the mail, and he got a better one than some of you. He said, look, God, I got a covenant one. I'm a covenant partner, and that boy's a giver, my God. Listen, what is that? That is growth in Frankie. That is growth in my children. Last night, that boy was on the crumbs. I had to look up because I thought Nick popped up, and I thought it was Nick playing or somebody. I said, no, that's little Frankie. God anointed him. God anointed his life. He's only been playing for about a month or a month and a half. Oh, but last night he was playing like a professional. Why? Because your children begin to grow. When you decide to take God serious and take him at his word, you will see growth in your life. Maybe I'm not where I should be, but thank God I ain't where I used to be. Maybe you're not that great spiritual giant now, but thank God you ain't that great sinner you used to be. Because change, growth, learning begins to take place. See, in the second stage, there's excitement. There's you're on fire for God. Some of you are in this stage. Some of you are in the honeymoon stage. But some of you are on the learning stage, and you're growing in the Word. You're growing in prayer. You're growing in your life. You're excited. You're on fire for God. And in this stage, you know what happens is that God begins to use you. God begins to use you. And rightly so. Why not let God use you? The devil used you. The world used you. Huh? Come on, somebody. People used you. Your baby mama used you. Baby daddy used you. Come on, somebody. And all of a sudden, let God use. Some people don't want to let God use them. You gotta let God use you. God's called some of you to be ushers in the house of God. But I don't want to get a suit. I'm not a suit guy. There has to be change.
Amen.
There has to be change. You gotta change. You gotta change. We gotta quit acting like a gangster.
Yeah.
Listen, we're Victory Outreach, but we're not gangsters.
Come on now.
No, we gang okay for God, yeah, but not from the world. And there's a change that takes place. There's a song that says Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Listen, the evidence that Jesus is on the inside is gonna begin to show on the outside. This is why things begin to change in our lives. God begins to use you to be an usher, to be in the worship, to be on the, to go to the streets and to share your testimony, to pass out flyers. God begins to use you. I'm not the only one God wants to use. God wants to use you, and God wants to use you, and God wants to use you. And all of you, God wants to use your life for His honor and His glory. You may not be some great spiritual giant saint, but you are a saint. You ain't an ain't. Saint of God.
Yes.
And in this stage, God begins to use you in this second stage. And then thirdly, in the third stage, is the settling in stage. This is a pretty good stage, but it can get tricky here. Because here in the settling in stage, what happens is stability begins to take place. Stability, you begin to get stable. You begin to become faithful in your church attendance.
All right, now.
It's like we don't have to guess, is she going to be here or is she not going to be here? See, some people, they ain't stable. We can't count on them. God can't count on them to be an usher. God can't count on them to lead us in worship. God can't count on them to be a leader. God can't count on them because they're not stable. They're fluid. Wishy-washy, spaghetti spine. Huh? Some people, spaghetti spine, and one little rebuke, one little trial, they fall apart. Huh? Just spaghetti spine. Huh? But listen, if you go through these stages properly, the honeymoon stage, the second stage of learning, and then you get to this third stage where all of a sudden you begin to settle in. Here in this settle in stage, you're going to have to be stable. You're going to have to be consistent. No employer wants somebody that's not going to show up on Monday, or they show up on Monday, but they don't show up on Tuesday. They show up on Wednesday, but they don't show up on Thursday. And they want to show up to pick up a check on Friday. And they're like Swiss cheese. They got holes in their attendance at work. Oh, I won't do that to my job, Pastor. I'll be at work, Pastor. Yeah, but you won't be in church.
Oh!
That's
on Galagazo.
That's force right there.
Amen.
Huh? Listen. In this stage, you're going to have to be stable.
That's right.
You're gonna have to be faithful.
Amen.
Because let me tell you, if you stop growing, you will fall apart.
Amen.
If you stop growing, your foundation will fall apart and you will find yourself a casualty of war.
There it is.
You will drop by, you will be on the poop out truck. So you know what the poop out truck is, right? You know when they race, right? And runners, they have a race, a marathon. They go and they run. There's some runners that can't make it to the end of the race. So there's a little car. They call it the poop out truck for those that want to give up. And instead of running the whole race, they get on the car and they just ride in the car to the finish line. And all the runners that are running, they look at this guy on the poop out truck. I don't want to be the guy in the poop out truck.
Come on,
because I'm going to throw a tomato at you if I see you on the poop out truck. Come on, somebody. See, it's in this stage we'll become stable. We begin to settle in. Our spiritual life, we have a spiritual life of regular prayer, the regular reading of the word, and regular church attendance, and regular tithing. I said regular tithing. We give to the Lord what belongs to the Lord. We don't rob God. Come on, somebody. Because we believe that God is faithful. In this stage, spiritual disciplines need to remain intact. In this stage, you got to keep your spiritual disciplines intact. Because if you're not careful, you can be in this stage. And remember, you're being used by God. But you ain't praying. You ain't reading.
Come on.
The only time you study the Bible is to when we call on you to share at the Bible study.
Wow.
Or if you're a leader, when we call you to preach.
Wow.
That will not last, my friend.
Right.
You cannot do ministry running on empty.
Yes.
You will tear yourself apart and you will tear people apart around you.
Yes. Come on.
Huh? So in this stage, you got to be stable in your prayer life. You can't just rely on pastor to spoon feed you every Sunday and every Friday. You're not a baby no more. You're a growing Christian. You better go to the refrigerator and pick yourself a sandwich. Hello, somebody. Get the bread of life. Hello, somebody. Get the manna. Hello, somebody. Come on, somebody. Get the Holy Ghost, which is the mayonnaise. Come on now. Slap it on there and make you a sandwich and begin to feed yourself on the Word. You got to keep your spiritual disciplines in place. See, this stage can be dangerous because the Christian can get comfortable in the settling in stage. Because in the settling in stage, you know what also happens? You experience the blessings of God.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Wow. God begins to bless you with the spouse, with a significant other. God begins to bless you with the job. God blesses you with a lazy boy couch and a flat screen TV. And before, you used to go to the streets between service, between Sunday morning and gang service, but now you're in front of this flat screen TV. See, in this stage, you got to be careful that you don't get comfortable and begin to neglect the spirituality, or become familiar with the things of God to the point of feeling indifference. There's a danger in this stage. In this stage, you must keep the fire burning. You must keep the fire burning and learn and know that a mature fire is consistent and takes time and effort to maintain.
Yes.
See, in this stage, you need a mature fire. And let me tell you something about a fire. You got to keep that fire burning.
That's good.
It don't got to be a crazy fire, but it got to be a fire. And it's in this stage where you learn that it takes work and effort to keep the fire and the passion for God burning inside your soul.
Amen.
It takes effort. It's in this stage. I've been in this stage for a long time. Huh? Stability, stable. As a church, we're here in this stage. I'm taking us through this stage to be stable.
Come on. Amen.
We go through our ups and downs, but guess what? We're stable. Why? Because me and my wife remain steady at the hem.
Amen.
Huh? In the midst of a storm, we remain steady at the hem.
Right.
Huh? My pastor used to describe the pulpit as a big steering, as the, what do you call the boat? The boat, the what do you call that big thing on the boat? Steering wheel, but you call it something, I forget.
Oar.
Oar, right? I think it's the oar, I don't know. But we remain steady. Huh? We remain steady. Huh? Come on, somebody.
Amen.
To keep the ship stable.
Yes. Amen.
To keep the ship stable. To be stable. Huh? This is how you got to do as a man of God for your family. You're going to go through stuff in life. Death happens, my friend.
Yeah, right.
No money happens. The economy can crash and burn. But you, as the leader of the house, if you're the husband and you're the dad, and if you're a single mom, if you're a wife, you got to stay steady at the helm. You got to be stable. They say, the devil's hitting, but you know what? We're going to stay stable. We're going to stay consistent. As leaders, we're going to stay consistent. Huh? And we're going to keep on praying. We're going to keep on reading our Bible. We're going to keep on paying our tithes. We're going to keep on doing ministry. We're going to keep on hitting the streets. We're going to keep on loving people. We're going to keep on with the keep on.
Right.
You got to be stable. Stable. It takes stability. See, in this stage, you will have many times where you don't feel like a saint. Let me say that again. In this stage, you will have many times where you don't feel, where you don't feel like, guess what? Sometimes I don't feel like a pastor. Sometimes I don't feel saved. You know why? Because I'm carne, I'm flesh. And you are too. Don't look at me like that. Huh? In this stage, there's going to be some times where you don't feel like a saint, but you must be mature enough. I said you must be mature enough in the word to know this is a life of faith and not of feelings. We walk by faith and not by sight. The piano player can come up. We walk by faith and not by sight. You're gonna you're gonna go through a stage where sometimes you're not gonna feel it. You're not gonna feel like a saint. You're not gonna feel like coming to church. You're not gonna feel it. But you gotta know by faith, it doesn't matter what I feel. I am a saint. I have been set apart, and I am being made holy.
Yes.
I am being made holy. And it is a process that God has taken me through. I've seen people go through so many processes. I've seen people go through some rough processes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the more you resist, the rougher it is for you.
That's right.
This is why we say just surrender.
Right.
Surrender. This is why we say lift your hands, because what does lifting your hands mean? You say, why do we have to lift our hands in church? Why does everybody lift their hands in church? It's a sign of surrenderance. It's simple. It's like, what do the police say, right? Freeze! Put your hands up. Why? Because they want you to surrender. Right? Huh? You gotta learn, man. Hands up, don't shoot. Amen, God. I surrender. Huh? I surrender, man. Huh? You ain't gotta have no, you ain't gonna have, you I'm going to the home, man. You ain't gotta have no if you much about it. I'm staying here, I surrender. I surrender. I'm going to church, I'm gonna go Bible study, I surrender, God. I ain't fighting it, I'm here. But there's some that fight it. I ain't going to the home. I ain't going to Bible study. God says, okay, you saint you. All right, you saint you. You believe, because you're a believer. I'm going to take you through a rough process. You know what? I'm going to have to push you a little bit. I'm going to have to motivate you a little bit. Maybe I got to take my hand off you and just take my hedge of protection off so that you can experience the wages of sin is death. Maybe you need a sickness to come your way. Huh? Let me put my hedge of protection, because you don't want my help, because you don't want to surrender, okay? But if you surrender, guess what? You're under the covering. And even then, I'm still going to take you through a process. Even then, I'm still going to take you through a process. There's different processes that we go through. But listen, God don't care about your mortal body right now. I mean, don't get me wrong. Take care of your temple. This is the temple of the living God, yes. But he's more concerned with your soul.
Amen.
Right, yes. He's more concerned with your soul.
Right.
And there's some things that God sometimes has to get us and give us a cachetada. Come on.
Come on.
And say, do I got your attention now?
Right.
Can you hear me now?
Hello. Oh my.
Because he loves you so much that he doesn't want your soul to burn in hell. He doesn't want your children's soul to burn in hell. And he knows that if yours burn in hell, chances are big that theirs will, because they're following your example.
Wow.
If you don't go to church, they're looking at you. Little eyes, be careful what you see. Little ears, be careful what you hear. Little hands, be careful what you touch.
Wow.
Philippians 1:6. I end with this verse. I end with this verse here. Philippians 1:6. You can turn your Bibles there and put it on the screen. The Bible says, being confident of this. Being confident of this. That he who began. I love this verse. I love this. That he who began a good work, where? 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 Come on, everybody say where?
Where?
Everybody say where?
Where?
Now, you said it to me, but now say it to you. Say in me.
In me.
Come on, say it in where?
In me.
In where?
In me.
In me. Say, come on, grab yourself. Say, in me, right here.
In me.
In me. That he who began a good work in me. Paul says, in you. Will what? Will what?
Carry it.
Will carry it on. To what?
Completion.
To what?
Completion.
To what?
Completion.
To completion. Until the day of Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Until the day of Christ Jesus. We serve a faithful, faithful God. Remember, again, we're not saying it's going to happen overnight. You're being made holy. But we're confident. Paul says, be confident in this. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Just know that you're in the process. Just know that you're in the process. And that God has done a good work in you. He started. He started it. You didn't start it. He started a good work in you. He started it in you. And he's going to bring it to completion. It might take until, he said, it might take until Jesus comes back. Come on, somebody. Huh? But it's a process. Hey, neighbor, it's a process. This is why don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on the calling of God. Don't give up on your ministry. Don't give up. God is taking you through a process, and you are his saints.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, you're his saints.
Amen.
God loves you. And God knows why he set you apart. You may be here this morning, and you feel set apart. You feel like, man, I'm the only one going through this. Our marriage is the only one going through. Our family's the only one going through this. I'm the only one struggling with this. No, you're just set apart. You're just going through the process. And it's all right because God is going to take you through that process. All you need to do, if you want to go through it faster, just surrender. Just surrender. Quit fighting. Quit kicking against the goads. You're only going to hurt yourself by kicking against the goads. Jesus told the Apostle Paul, quit kicking against the goads. What that means, a goad was a sharp, like a sharp tool used to pinch the kind of the behinds of the donkeys to make the donkey go. And God told Paul, you're kicking against the goad. You're kicking against this spear. You're only hurting yourself. Because Paul was fighting. He was fighting the will of God at that time. And God said, quit kicking against my will. Just surrender, man. As soon as Paul surrendered, breakthroughs. As soon as Paul surrendered, the honeymoon stage. As soon as Paul surrendered, he felt the joy of the Lord. As soon as Paul surrendered, he started to learn. He started to grow. And God began to use him in a mighty way. And there's some of you that God wants to use you in a mighty way. God's calling is irrevocable. God's calling is still there upon your life. And he's called you to be his saint. He's called you to be a leader. He's called you to lead your family. He's called you to love your family and to lead others to Christ Jesus.
Right.
He's called you to be that saint. Not the eight, but the saint. I want you to stand to your feet here this morning. This morning you may be here and you've been going through this process. You've been going through this process. Maybe you feel set apart. You feel like God is setting you apart here this morning. I want to pray for you. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, this morning, God, you have spoken, Jesus. You have spoken. You have spoken in a way that only you can. Lord, I gave the church what you gave me to give to them. This is not an easy message to preach. It wasn't easy, God. But Lord, you are faithful. You know what your people need to hear. You know what everybody's going through. You know the season in life they're in. there's some here, God, that haven't been in church in a while, but you brought them here this morning. And through it all, they've held on to their faith. They still believed in you. But things have been going good, God. They've been fighting you, Jesus. But here they stand once again, surrendering to you. Here they are in your process. These are your people, Jesus. They're your children. I'm just a messenger. I'm just your servant, oh God. So I pray now, Jesus, that you would draw them to a closer walk with you. That they would embrace their set-apartness. That they would embrace the process that you're bringing them through. I can confess, God, that the process ain't easy, Jesus. I've been going through this process for 19 years and I'm still going through the process. Not that I have attained or been made perfect, like the Apostle Paul said. But one thing I do is I press on. Despite success and failure, despite ups and downs, I press on. Because I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in me will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And he who began a great work in them will bring it to completion. This morning, if you're here, God has spoken to your hearts. God has spoken to your heart. I'm going to open up these altars. Maybe you've been going through, you've been feeling set apart. You've been feeling like God has been shaping and molding and taking you through this process. Maybe you experience this. Sometimes it gets hard. And the devil comes and tempts you to throw in the towel, to take a shortcut. To try to cheat and manipulate the process. Tonight I believe that God spoke to you and said, no, 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 no. Just go through the process. It's okay. It's okay. You might be lonely, but it's alright. You're not alone. Because to be lonely and to be alone is two different things. You're not alone because he's with you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's with you in the storm, in the fiery furnace. He's with you in the trial, the tribulation. He's with you. He's setting your marriage apart. This is why sometimes you go through it in your marriage, because your marriage is set apart. Your family is set apart. Sometimes this is why even your children can get attacked. They've been set apart. He set you apart. God sets us apart as a church. He sets us apart. Because we are his chosen. You are his chosen vessel. He has a great calling upon your life. Some of you, he's going to use you. You don't even see it, but he sees it. Through your faith, and he will come unto salvation. Your family will be saved. You've been set apart. He's challenged you to change. He's called you to change. Because he's setting you apart. See, it's in that phase, it's in that second phase where God begins to be begins to make you stronger. He prepares you for that stability phase. He's preparing you. He's solidifying you. It's in this second stage, and in the third stage where the feelings, listen, he's going to begin to do away with them. And he's going to take you to another level of faith. And he doesn't want you to walk by what you see or by what you feel. He's going to want you to walk by what you know about him. And you're going to have to be strong, and you're going to have to see your way through this phase. Because the good thing about it, sometimes he repeats the process. And you know what he does? He takes you on a second honeymoon. He takes you on a second honeymoon. He celebrates an anniversary and he takes you on a third honeymoon. And then you find joy again. And you find breakthrough again. And you find radical change again. All of a sudden, this is where all of a sudden you're not just the normal person in the church. All of a sudden, radical change takes place and you become a minister. You become a pastor. You become a preacher. You become a leader. You're no longer just a normal church goer. Radical change on your second honeymoon takes place. And then another growth. And then another learning phase. Another learning phase. Another growth phase. And then another stability phase. And God continues to repeat the process. You know what he calls it? He calls it glory to glory to glory. The process. The process. The process. Go through that process here this morning. Don't give up. Your pastor doesn't. Sister Sylvia doesn't. Pastor Josh doesn't. Brother Irving, they're wide with you. Glory to glory. Glory to glory. Pastor Sonny can serve God for life. We can serve God for life. If Billy Graham served God for life till his dying day, we can too. We can too. And our names will echo in eternity. Will echo in eternity. Because the generation that lives after us will say, my daddy led me to the Lord. My uncle led me to the Lord. My neighbor led